Father, thank you for this time that we can come together and worship you, meditate on you, have fellowship with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, I just thank you for this wonderful time of the year when we so specifically set it aside to remember all that you have done for us. And Father, as we spend some time in your Word, I ask that you would bless it, that our ears would be open and our hearts would be open to receive what you would tell us tonight. Father, we love you. And we ask all of these things in your Son's name. Amen. Amen. Hey, let me begin by asking you all a question this evening. If you could choose one word to describe Christmas, what would you choose? There's a lot of different words that people could use. When I was a little kid, there are very specific words I probably would have chosen, right? Presents, yes. Fun, parties, food, that was a big deal to me. Music, right? All the songs that we sang tonight and things like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and whatnot. Those would have been things that I probably would have thought of. Have you noticed how oftentimes those words change as we start to get older? You know, especially it seems like once you have kids, you got a family, and all of a sudden the quote-unquote burden of Christmas actually starts to become real. And some of those words begin to change to things like headache, you know, busyness, expensive, right? All of these sorts of words. Maybe if you had a really, you know, tough childhood, maybe Christmas has bad memories for you. Maybe so the words you might choose today would be more along those lines. To many, Christmas, probably more than many others, is sadly just like any other day. Everybody's holidaying, everyone's having parties, everyone's supposedly joyful and happy. And that time of the year, they begin to realize, you know what, this is just another day to them. You know, I've even heard Christians describe Christmas with words that they probably shouldn't. Some of those words like headache and busyness and expensive and all of those sorts of things. Because we are celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior. And I heard a couple of you yell out, I don't know if it was for my benefit or not, but you said, Jesus, when I asked you. Well, that really is the right word. It's the correct one and it's the best one. And that really is the focus of Christmas. Would you like to have joy during this Christmas holiday? How many of you have joy? Honestly, that's awesome. Did you notice not every hand went up? And that's not a bad thing. That's okay. It's understandable. But do you want joy? We sing an awful lot about it. I don't know if you noticed, it popped up in quite a few of the songs that Tom and Zarette were leading us in. We want joy, but what is it? Do you know biblically, if you look at the word joy, it's an awful lot like the biblical word for love. We tend to think of love as just a bunch of gooey emotions, right? It's not. Joy and love both are a decision that we make based on truth, based on what we know. And since that's true, I do believe that you can be as joyful as you want to be. I really do. It's entirely dependent on where you choose to put your focus. Tonight, tomorrow, on Christmas Day, and for the whole rest of the year. It's entirely dependent on where you choose to put your focus. If you want to have joy this Christmas season and any other season of the year, let me tonight, just for the sake of memory, maybe for some of our younger kids that are with us tonight, I want to use an acrostic. I'm not given to acrostics, but it fits. Joy. Three things that we should focus on this holiday season that will bring us that joy that we want. The first letter, of course, is the letter J. Focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. It's really that simple. I'm sorry if that sounds cliche. I hope it doesn't. But that's the truth. Focus on Jesus. How many of you have also a favorite Christmas TV special? right? Probably going back to when you were a kid too, right? You know what my favorite one is? A Charlie Brown Christmas, right? They were, before church started, Tom was playing this stuff from some Vince Giraldi there from that show. And I love that show. But you might remember there's a very special point in the show where Charlie Brown, who is just hassled and upset about all of the planning he's having to do for this Christmas program that they got going on, and he's depressed and sad because all of the kids are mocking him for that sad little bent over Christmas tree, remember, that he picked out. And it's like you can just see him getting to his boiling point, and finally he just yells out and he says, "Can anyone tell me what Christmas is all about?" It's at that point that the best part of the whole show comes up. You remember Linus? He goes, "Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about." And he goes up to the podium and he says, "Lights, please." And you know what he does? He quotes Luke chapter 2. He recites it. This is what he reads. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Then Linus turns around and he walks over to Charlie Brown and he says, "Charlie Brown, that's the meaning of Christmas." And he's right. That little animated, bald-headed guy is right. That is the meaning of Christmas. Guys, where's your focus this Christmas Eve? You know, there's a bunch of us here tonight, which means we probably got, I don't know what, 60 different focuses going on right now. We got all sorts of, some of you are thinking about taking off for, you know, to go on a trip maybe tomorrow, or you're thinking about the plans, or you're, I don't know, maybe you got a turkey in the oven or something, you know, whatever. We got all sorts of things that kind of assault our senses during the holidays. Where's your focus? Is it possible that maybe you have forgotten that Christmas is not primarily about you? It's not about your presents. It's not about your friends. It's not about your church. It's not about your family. It's all about Him. It's all about Jesus Christ. That's why we're here tonight. You know, I remember one Christmas day, my daughter Holly, she was, I'm going to embarrass her, she's sitting right there, but she was about 5, I think. Very verbose for 5. And I remember asking her, after we'd already opened presents and everything, and I asked her, I said, "So Holly, did you get everything you wanted?" Kind of a normal question, right, that you'd ask a kid. And she kind of hesitated for a moment, and she said, "No, but then it isn't my birthday either." And I thought, you know what, that's right. That's the way to look at it. It's all about Him. Isn't it incredibly easy to get so wrapped up in the celebration that we completely forget why we're celebrating to begin with? It happens to me. It happens to the best of us. We are all well aware of the fact that the world certainly goes there, right? Mom, would you flip the light switch off behind you, please? This is part of the weather moderation that we're trying to do here. We know that the world does that. We know the world doesn't have the right focus when it comes to things like Christmas. I mean, my goodness, it's politically incorrect now to say Merry Christmas. Probably some of you say Merry Christmas as often as possible just because of that. Yeah, I know some of you, so I know you're doing it. They, you know, they want us to say Happy Holidays or some such nonsense. Or we, you know, we have the Jewish day of Hanukkah, or we have the holiday of Kwanzaa, or whatever. All of it is just basically competing for the place that belongs to the Son of God alone. You see? It's all about Him. But you know, without even buying into the ways of a fallen, sinful world, you can forget what Christmas is all about. The second you forget about Jesus. The second that He becomes something secondary to you. Something, you know, well, I know who He is, I'm saved, I believe in Him, I love Him, but He's not first in my life. He's not the main part of my life. He's not my first love. You'll immediately forget, and your focus will be off of Him. If you are a Christian here tonight, then focusing on Jesus means that you not only remember the Savior in a manger, you know, around the end of December, but you remember that He is the Savior in your heart 365 days a year. That's part of what it is that we've been called to do as believers in Jesus Christ, is to remember Him, to dwell on Him. You remember that that baby, you know, in our little nativity scenes that we think is so cute, that baby, you know what He came to do? He came to die. He came to die on a cross to pay for your sins. We need to remember that He rose again 3 days later so that you can have new life, eternal life. We need to remember that He lives in your heart today to give you joy. He wants you to have joy. But you're never going to find it until He becomes the focus of your life. We need to focus on Jesus. Guys, I want you to remember what Galatians 2:20 says. Paul wrote, "I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live my life in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Guys, if that does not give you joy, I'm not sure what's going to give you joy. That should tickle you to the bottom of your soul every day of your life if you believe in Jesus Christ. Focus on Jesus. Second letter, O. Focus on others. That's not a surprising one, is it? Unfortunately for some, it's only during the holidays that that ever happens. And oftentimes then it's even kind of selfish, isn't it? You know, we do things for other people because, well, we kind of getting something out of it ourselves, or it makes us feel good, or whatever. But focusing on others is something else that is necessary if we are going to have joy. You know, as you focus on Jesus, you will find that you will begin to develop a different attitude about other people. Have you noticed that? Any of you who are believers? I'm not asking if you're perfect. I'm not asking if you're great in that area yet. But as you focus on Jesus, you begin to notice that your attitude towards others, how you think of other people, how you handle other people, begins to change. I want you to consider something. This is from Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Paul's writing. He says, well, he's talking anyway. He says, "In everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that He Himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" That's an axiom. It's a truism. It's a truth of Christianity. What Paul is basically doing by quoting Jesus there is he's pointing out the joy of generosity. Have you thought of someone else this holiday season? Have you put someone else before yourself? Maybe even to your disadvantage, perhaps. Guys, there is joy in focusing on others. Christmas is a time when we most specifically celebrate the most wonderful gift that God ever gave, and that's Jesus Christ. Right? We remember that gift. And God's focus, remember we're talking about focus here, God's focus in giving that gift, in giving Jesus Christ to this world as a baby so that He might grow up and die on the cross for our sins. You know what God's focus was in doing that? It was you. It was on you. Aren't you glad that God didn't just sit up in heaven, notice our sin issue, our sin problem that we could not fix, and then just focus on Himself? Focus on his needs, his desires, his wants, his, what, I don't know, whatever, you know, those things might have been. Instead, what did he do? He focused on you. And guys, that is your example as believers in Jesus Christ. That's why we are told so often in Scripture that we are to care for the weak, care for the poor, that we are to take care of those who are needy, who are hurting, who are hungry. Over and over through Scripture, we find these things. You see, guys, the real joy does not come from what you get from other people. I know our flesh tells us that. Mine does, and so does yours. But that is not where your joy comes from. Your joy, real joy, comes as we give to others out of what we have. It is that focus that will bring us joy. If you want to know the joy that we're talking about, give something away. And I mean, you make that as specific as you want. Whatever it is that the Lord puts in your heart, that's between you and Him. It's not between you and me. Do something for someone else. Sacrifice for someone else. Give away. Do something for someone other than yourself. You know, Jesus said that we are to do whatever we can for the least of these, and that when we do, we are doing it for who? For Him. We're doing it for Him. Guys, there is no shortage of lonely, needy people. Have you noticed? Matter of fact, there's a lot of us in this room tonight. There's no shortage. And the Holy Spirit will show them to you if you are willing. I guarantee you, if you tell the Lord, Lord, I just want to serve somebody. I want to take care of somebody. I want to bless someone. I want to give to someone else. I want to focus on someone else. Would you show me who? There is no way He's going to go, nah, not today. That's not in my plans for you. That's not my... Well, of course, it's His will. He's going to show you. He's going to make that obvious to you. And the Bible says that you will find joy as you focus on other people. What's the final letter, guys? Why? J-O-Y. And considering what we've already looked at here already, this area of focus is probably going to surprise you when I first say it. If you want joy in your life, focus on yourself. Focus on yourself. Now, that may sound a little strange. Doesn't that sound a bit contrary to focusing on Jesus and focusing on others? Didn't we just do a complete 180 here? And yet there is a sense in which you are to focus on yourself if you are to experience joy. However, biblically, focusing on yourself is a whole lot different than what your flesh and what the world tells you to do in focusing on yourself. You see, your own attitudes, the ones that you have, determine whether or not you're going to have joy. The attitudes of your heart, the things that go on between your ears, you can let worry and stress undermine and determine, rather, whether you're going to have joy or not. You can let all of those things, discouragement and frustration and all of those things that we all deal with from time to time, completely undermine this joy God wants you to have. It's true, everyone struggles with this stuff, but please understand, your attitudes are not automatic. Our response to those situations is not automatic. I find myself trying to excuse myself in that way. Something hard happens and I kind of tell myself, well, of course I'm going to react like that. When in fact, I was reacting incorrectly. I was reacting sinfully. That isn't what the Scriptures tell us. The Bible commands us to not allow these things to rule over our lives. And so I know that it is the truth that we are to choose our attitudes, because God isn't going to command us to do something that He is not then, by His Holy Spirit, going to give us the power and the ability to do. Worry and stress. Anybody here have any of that? Anybody? You probably got maybe some right now, you know? Getting cold in here all of a sudden, you know? What's going on? What's with the... Whatever. Worry and stress, we all deal with it. Listen to what Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says. Be anxious for nothing. Do you notice that's a command? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which exceeds anything we can understand, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You get to choose. How about unforgiveness? Anybody here dealing with that? Maybe tonight some of you are burdened down with unforgiveness and bitterness from things that have happened, whether it's recently or far in the past. As we saw several weeks ago, Ephesians 4:32 says this, be kind to one another. Is there commands again? Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, for Jesus' sake, has forgiven you. How about discouragement? Have you ever feel discouraged? Depressed? Feel sorrow in your heart? Maybe tonight some of you are sad. Maybe you're grieving. Maybe life seems meaningless to you. Maybe there's a hopelessness to life. Listen to these words from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, who loved us and by His grace gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope, may He comfort your heart and strengthen you in everything you do and in everything you say. See, these verses all touch on all of those attitudes that we so often think we have no control over. Guys, my point is this. You can live a life full of faith or you can live a life full of doubt. It is your choice to make. You can choose to be full of the Spirit's joy or you can choose to be full of the world's anguish. So when I say focus on yourself, I don't mean go buy that speedboat you've been thinking about. I don't know why you'd buy a speedboat in Colorado, but so be it. you know, go do whatever it is that you want to do for yourself. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is consider your thoughts. Consider your actions. Listen to your words. And then ask yourself, do I have the joy of the Lord? Or am I just wallowing in this huge mud hole that I made with my own tears? There's a choice to be made. Guys, if anyone ever tells you that Christmas is not about giving and receiving gifts, I want you to tell them that they're dead wrong. Christmas is entirely about the exchange of gifts. Some of the kids in the room just went, ooh, cool. I told Mom and Dad that was true. The gifts that I'm talking about here is the gift of God to you. His unspeakable and amazing gift of His own Son for you. And the gift from you to God when you present your body as a living sacrifice to Him. Focusing on Him entirely. But guys, you are the only one who can determine if you will be joyful this year. You're the only one who can do that. God has a gift for you this Christmas. And it may not be under your tree, but He has a gift for you this Christmas. It's the joy that you unwrap when you focus on Jesus, when you focus on others, when you focus on yourself. See if there be any way in you that is inhibiting that joy that God desires His kids to have. And guys, let me encourage you, don't wait till December 24th or 25th to unwrap it every year. Unwrap it every day. Every day, because He's given you that gift. But guys, as that joy floods your life, as a believer in Jesus Christ, as you feel that joy come into your life, I encourage you to remember at the same time that there are millions and millions of people who do not know that joy. They don't know your Savior. They don't know Jesus Christ. They've never experienced that relationship with Him. They don't know the joy that comes through that relationship. In fact, if there is anyone here this evening, since I don't know everyone. I know a lot of you, but I don't know everyone. Maybe there's someone here tonight who has never taken that step of salvation, of believing in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If that applies to you, if you want to receive the gift of forgiveness, if you've never bowed your knee to Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, all you have to do is come to Him. There's no tricks. There's no magic initiation rite. There's no secret hat for any of that kind of stuff. You come to Him. You confess Him as your Savior. You believe on Him and you follow Him. That's salvation as Scripture describes it. The great thing is you can do it tonight. You don't have to wait for a special event or anything like that. God in His kindness, in His love for you, wants to give you that opportunity tonight to accept Him as your Lord and as your Savior. If you want to take that opportunity, I just want you to pray these words to Jesus along with me. Not to me, not to anybody around you, but to the Lord Jesus. Would you all bow your heads with me? Jesus, I accept You as the greatest Christmas gift ever given. And Jesus, from this point on, I pledge to follow You as the Lord of my life. Please forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my sinfulness. Jesus, I accept Your sacrifice. I accept Your death on the cross in my place. And I pledge to follow You from this point forward. Amen. For the rest of you who do know the Lord, that is the message of Christmas. And as we do each Christmas Eve, to symbolize the great light that Jesus Christ brought into this world, we have a candlelight service. That's why you all have those little candles in your hands, in case you were wondering. A lot of times people think that this is just for ambiance. It's not. There's great symbolism in what we're doing here. Because you see, the reason that Jesus Christ came was so that we could be saved, so that we would have the good news of salvation. But once you become a believer in Jesus Christ, we are also then called to be messengers of that good news. We are to spread that light. And so how appropriate tonight that even in a symbolic way, through the lighting of candles, we spread the light of Jesus Christ throughout this room, one person at a time. The gentleman would come forward, please. The lights up, the candles up front symbolize the light of Jesus Christ come into this world. And I'm going to light my candle at the center candle, which represents Jesus Christ. In turn, I'm going to light these two fine gentlemen's candle. And then they're going to come and light the candles of the people on the end. And then I'd ask that you, in turn, light the candle of the person next to you from yours. Again, guys, remember, this isn't just for the ambiance or fun of it. It's so that we are reminded again how powerfully we have been saved and how important it is that we spread this light of Jesus Christ through the world. Thank you. all stand, please? Can we say we are in awe of what you have done for us? Thank you, Lord, that this is more than just a holiday, more than just a vacation. Thank you that it was the dividing point in history where God became man, where our sins began to be dealt with, where salvation became possible. Father, may we focus on you and your Son and what you have done this Christmas. And thank you and bless you and worship you for it. Father, we love you and we worship you alone tonight. And Father, as we go to spend time with one another in fellowship and great food, Father, I ask that you bless that food to our bodies. I ask that you bless our fellowship, that the things that we say would be glorifying and pleasing to you and edifying to one another. Father, thank you for Jesus. And we ask all of this in your Son's name. Amen. Amen. Well, guys, we've got up in the fellowship hall, which is around the corner and the stairs heading up, we've got all kinds of food. And a great opportunity for fellowship if you're able to stay. If you didn't know about it, you're more than welcome. There's not an issue whatsoever. And so go ahead and If you want to blow out your candles, there's a basket outside that you can drop them in, or if you're the memorabilia sort, you can keep it if you want. So God bless you guys.